Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and I'm Dr. Lisa. Hey, thanks for listening. It's good to not see you, but I feel you. Anyway, I'm excited to be here today because I don't know why, but for some reason I'm in a good mood, which I can't really fucking figure out. If I could, I would get it and I'd reproduce it. You know, I'd own that. But anyway, I have a really great guest coming, Augie Lutz. He's a comedian. I know him from, hanging around comics at my local bar, Pine Box. If anybody knows Pine Box, they probably... Yeah, I'm a really hardcore drinker, drug addict. Well, I don't know. I mean, I go to bed at 10:30, so how bad could it be, right? Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about me. So Augie's a little late because the L train is fucked up. Surprise, the L train of all things. And I'm kind of happy to have a couple of minutes with you because I've been trying to process all the shit that happened last weekend. Did I tell you, I mean, if you listened to me last week, I had that interview with the filmmaker who made the film about me called Cold Feet, which it's a documentary about my not wanting to get married. And this incredible filmmaker, reality TV editor, Spencer Shilley, RuPaul, Star Booty, Drag Race, big deal guy, spent 3 months with me, and my husband, trailing me around, trying to figure out how I didn't want to get married. The 3 months up to the wedding, and, you know, there was a wedding planner and doctor's visits. My tits are in the movie because I'm having a breast exam, shit like that. And it was intense. But, the movie was filmed 6 years ago when I got married, edited, took a while. But anyway, I was in the Bushwick Film Festival this weekend, and it was a really intense experience because on a big screen in a packed theater, I was sort of sitting in between Spencer, the filmmaker, and my husband, Phil. I was sort of not forced, because it was an intense pleasure experience, positive experience mostly, of being confronted with all the feelings and experiences and people that were there during my wedding and leading up to the wedding 6 years ago. And my life was really different then. I was still working as an art director in advertising. I was living in Chelsea with my husband. My stepson was around. He hadn't gone off into his beautiful, fabulous life in Denver, Colorado with his amazing girlfriend and his fabulous job at an architecture firm yet. And, I think anybody, if they looked at the wedding they had 6 years later, would probably have some different guests, people that they were then close to. People that they used to be close to, they wouldn't be close to. People that you are close to now that you didn't know then. And then on top of that, there are also people that I'm still really close to, and that was meaningful too. So it just kind of hit me all like a ton of bricks, and I'm still trying to process it, frankly. And that's why I thought I would put it out there and talk to you about it. You can see the trailer. I'll post it on my Facebook page so you can see the trailer and you'll know what I'm talking about. But it was a very intense experience. And my best friend's mother died this past year. She's in it. What else can I tell you? My relatives that I don't see that often, from my father, even my brother who I don't see that often, and even myself that I don't see that often. It was just a whirlwind of emotion. What can I tell you? And I'm still trying to process it. And you know what? I didn't realize until like a day or two later after I chilled out from that whole thing that it had affected me as as deeply as I had, as it had. The best part about it, though, is that the filmmaker, who's incredible, was really pumped because the film was just, people just laughed and cried literally the whole time. So we are going to make more of an effort to get it out there so you can see the whole thing. But you should check out the trailer. I'll post it. I'll post it on my Facebook page again, and then I'll post it when I post this episode. So guess what happened while I was talking about myself? The one and only adorable, fantastic, hilarious Augie Lutz walked in.
Hello. Thank you.
Okay. Augie, you made it. I'm so happy to see you.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Get a little closer to the mic.
Like that? Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Move up. Move up.
Even closer?
That's good.
It says don't touch it, right?
Don't touch it. God forbid. I mean, I know that's hard because it's kind of hot, sexy mic, but you can control it. Try not to grab it. Control yourself, Augie.
How are you? I feel like I missed a crazy story. I just walked
in. No, I was just talking about, you know, I had a showing of my, I explained that you were a comedian, somebody I knew from Pine Box. Two things I want to tell you, Augie. I interrupt a lot.
Okay.
And B, I don't make eye contact.
That's fine. I hate people who don't interrupt and who do make eye contact.
Really?
Can't stand it.
Because I'm used to doing therapy lying down. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Done your show, yeah.
So I get distracted if I'm looking at your handsome face.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, look wherever you please.
Okay. So. No, I know. We're cool. It's just that, you know, that's what I tell people before they get here.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I know.
That's all right.
You're probably going to brief me,
now,
right?
People are going to know. Well, we also don't really have a game plan we're going to talk about, but that's totally cool because you and
great.
I are cool, right?
Yeah.
We're totally cool.
Yeah, and we could chat, you know, or...
Yeah, or I could just, you know, ambush you is the word I was looking for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. But anyway, so do you remember last year I had that screening? You might not have made it, but I did have a screening of the film about Cold Feet, about me not wanting to get married at Pine Box. Do you remember that?
I wasn't
maybe you
there,
don't.
But I do remember.
Remember the posters?
Yeah.
So did you know it was in the Bushwick Film Festival this past weekend?
No.
Oh yeah. Well, you can see I did a great job at promoting this thing. We did have a full house though.
Really?
So it was at Syndicated Theater. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. That's a great place, though.
Yeah, it was part of the Bushwick Film Festival, and it was at Syndicated Theater, and it was a full house, part of the festival. We were part of the festival. And the filmmaker, Spencer Shilley, who lives in L.A., lives in Hollywood, you know, reality TV guy.
Oh, wow.
Flew in for the screening, his close friend, and I was just talking about how, you know, it was the 3 months leading up to my wedding. Augie knows my husband, or he's met my husband.
Yes.
Very
nice guy.
Nice guy. And it was 6 years ago, believe it or not. So it was before we moved to Bushwick. So I was just talking about how intense the experience was of sitting there watching that movie in a theater. And
with other people. That's scary. Are you looking at everyone while I watch it to see if they're reacting?
A little bit, but
you know?
It was...
Like, I feel weird showing people YouTube videos that I didn't even make. If I'm, like, I thought something was funny, I still feel self-conscious, like, showing a few people.
Well, I mean, I am, like, enamored with the skills of the filmmaker. So, and also, even if I wasn't, I mean, I'm proud of the film because it's this... The filmmaker has had met, you know, he's I think he's probably one of the best. He's been hired to do the show Too Cute, which is about puppies and kittens, and they don't talk. And Spencer can write and edit that into a fucking compelling story.
Yeah.
So...
Wait, so this documentary is about you not wanting to get married?
Well, what happened was I was engaged for 5 years.
To your current husband?
Yeah, and we were dating or whatever for 8... he was particularly involved with bringing up his son after the divorce and stuff like that. So that was, you know, that element that was part of our relationship, which, you know, may not have, like, other people would have had to make, might have forced decisions quicker. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I love Christopher dearly, and I'm glad he's in my life. That's all I can say about that. But so
he knows you made a movie about not really wanting to get married to him. He's cool with that? He's pretty, I mean, he was there.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, wow. I mean, he was cool. You know, that other thing I did where I was naked in the gallery, you know,
yeah,
about that,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. How was he about that?
Well, you know, at first he was like, I'm not talking about it, but then he warmed up to it. And then at the end, he was very excited and proud of it. So, yeah, I mean, Phil's been through a lot with I give the guy credit, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you know, there was just a lot of really personal shit. I mean, it was interviews with like my friends asking me about why, you know, where they were talking about me behind my back, why they thought I was hesitant about getting married. And then there was me doing psychotherapy for a theater on the street in Washington. So that was intense. And you know, doctors, there was, you know, it's just like a this is your life, you can imagine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just talking about how I didn't, like, how I'm still trying to process it, because it affected me in a way that I wasn't necessarily.
And was it well-received?
Extremely well-received.
Well, there you go, then. You have nothing to worry about. That's great.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'm thrilled, mostly because Spencer's such a great filmmaker, and he's happy. Like, it was great for him to hear people laughing and hearing them crying and talking about it and stuff like that. But so that's what's the best part. But I was, you know, I didn't expect to be. I kind of got sideswiped by it emotionally. But I was saying that I was in a really good mood today, so I don't know. Maybe because I have something to focus my confused, difficult feelings on, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, I think when you have something to be annoyed about or scared about, you're more focused.
Maybe. You know? Yes, maybe. So, but it helped me just talking about that. So thanks, everybody. And we certainly used the time wisely, at least from my point of view. So, Augie, it's cool that you're here. So,
yeah,
this is
you.
Really funny. I was trying to explain how we know each other from Pine Box, mostly, right? Really from Pine Box.
Yeah, we both are, should I say bar flies? Is that offensive?
No, no, I was saying that, you know, I have like a serious drinking problem, but I go to bed at 10:30. You've never seen me lying on the floor there, have you?
No. So you have lying on the floor there?
No. I'm really pretty much a two drink person.
Really? Okay. Yeah. But I've seen you there pretty drunk. But I've been there drunk too.
Yeah.
It's a very good place to get drunk. You know.
It is.
Yeah,
totally.
Great happy hour.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So,
only allow you to bring in that little dog. What's that dog's name?
Astro.
Astro.
Astro made it into the follow up of the movie too. She was on the screen. Yeah, Astro. Yeah, that's why we go there, because they let us bring. Oh, we're not supposed to talk about that on the air.
Never mind.
You know, because you're
fucking
not really
Giuliani,
allowed to bring
right?
dogs.
Yeah.
But occasionally we just put her in a bag and sneak her in. But we're not really supposed. You're not really supposed to bring dogs. And occasionally we do sneak our dog in.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, so you're kind of. I see you as one of the linchpins of the comedy scene in. Is there a comedy? Like, what's going on?
In Pine Box.
In Pine Box. So what's going on with it? What is the deal with the comedy scene in Pine Box? It used to be run by Joe
Cocozello, yeah.
So what's going on there?
The Prince of Bushwick. Well, he moved to Minnesota, back home.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was actually just back a few weeks ago.
I saw him. I spoke with him. Yeah. He was on stage.
Yeah.
He was on stage at your show that I was on.
Yes, yes. He did
the game show. That was awesome. You do the game show once a month?
Yes, once a month. And then I run a stand-up show with Courtney McGinnis there the last Saturday of every month,
mm-hmm. and
which everyone should see.
Last Saturday, what time?
8:00.
8:00 at Pine Box.
And the game show's first Tuesday, 8:00.
And the game show's every first Tuesday of the month at what? 9?
8.
8.
8, yeah. Soft 8, you know.
Soft 8, 8:30.
Yeah, yeah.
Game show's great. I had the on. I've seen the game show, but the last, the very, very last, but one recent game show I had the honor of being on. That was so fun.
Thank you.
That was such a weird show.
It's weird because we wanted to do something different. Like, Joe got a bunch of us to like do shows. That he got like 4 different people that would agree to do a show once a month on Sundays there. So like it would you know, rotate. Each four.
Oh,
so every month,
smart.
You know. But then he started like double booking stuff, and Pine Box was like, let's just cut Joe out of it. We'll move you to Tuesdays. So then.
That's how that happened.
And he was pretty hurt. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I've never seen him at a loss for words, except when he found out that the game show has moved to Tuesday.
Yeah, Joe. Is that before he moved? Or
before he moved, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I did that one show once that you were on, the stand-up lie-down show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if that, like, I mean, quite honest, I know we're gossiping now, but I wonder if it, like, got under his skin that I did that without telling him or something. Do you think it might have?
It could have. Things like that get under Joe's skin, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I was kind of aware of that when I was booking it. But I wasn't sure, and then, like, I didn't get a good political... I mean, I love the Pine Box people, and that's what...
They're great, yeah. That's why it's such a great place to do shows.
It's such a great... Well, it's such a great place. I got Tony, who's the best tech ever, and nice stage, and just the best vibe, right?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I have seen really, really top-notch people there, for sure.
Yeah, some great shows there.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got a great open mic scene. I really like the open mic scene there. I wish that I was more committed to it.
Oh, that's right. You were doing it, right? What happened? You would bring your dog up on stage?
Yeah. Well, I really, you know, like, I have this fantasy that I'd really like to do stand-up comedy. But the problem I have is that you have to go out at night, like, every night.
Yeah. It takes up all your time. You got to...
Well, it's a lifestyle, and it's a big, like... It's really hard. I respect anybody that's involved in it. Believe you me.
Yeah. But, as everyone should.
Well, no. I don't think people understand, really. Do you?
No.
I don't think people understand how intense.
Like, when people ask you and you say, like, yeah, you try and go up every night, they're, like, shocked. They're like, what do you mean, every night? And like, yeah, how else do you get good at it?
Yeah, at least once a night, you know, right? Yeah. Or whatever. I don't know. Like, so, like, that whole... I that's the part of it that I can't handle because, I mean, I've not just because I'm old, which I am, but even when I was young, I used to, like, I don't like staying out late. I don't really like drinking more than my two drinks.
That's all you have, two drinks?
Yeah.
Being honest, yeah.
Why? You think I have a lot more?
Well, I've seen you that seemed at times where you seemed like you had more than two drinks in you.
Really?
Are you just a lightweight?
I think so.
Often, but,
there's a little weed, let's just say that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you add in the weed, that would do it, right?
Yeah, messes you up, yeah.
Yeah, you add the weed in. That's, well, you smoked weed with me, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, not that I don't mix, but, you know, when you mix.
Yeah, it's the weed. So
this is how long have you been doing the show? This is so cool. I didn't realize they had a thing back here.
A little over a year. Also, I should say that there's going to be, you know, everybody should come on Saturday here. It's 1345 DeKalb Avenue because the record store upstairs is opening. Did you see the record store when you came in?
Yeah.
It's brand new and they're opening.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, like they don't have an officially it will be a record store and a radio station.
Oh, wow.
On Saturday, and we're expanding the radio station. Like, we're going to have more recording. We're going to have a recording studio in the window.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a great station. I mean, I just love Radio Free Brooklyn.
All this stuff looks so high-tech. I don't know what it does, but...
Yeah, it's cool, right?
Yeah. A few turntables, wow.
Yeah, totally cool. So, anyway, you know, so let's do some psychotherapy. What do you say, Augie? Are you ready for that?
I'm ready to be psychotherapized.
So I was trying to remember because you were on my stand-up lie-down show, which you remember.
Yeah, I still have the prescription that you gave.
Yeah, what did I give you?
It's something like talk to your family more. Work stuff out.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what your background was because I didn't want to make you go over it again, but these people might not have heard it anyway.
I'm from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in some part of New York City, one part of the other for, you know, like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do comedy. I do stand-up now. I used to do improv and sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Bushwick, and you should come to my shows the first Tuesday and last Saturday of every month.
Pine Box. It's great. I'll be really drunk there. So, wait, I got to ask you, do you see me as somebody who's, like, drunk a lot?
Did I poke
something? No, my mother's yelling at me from her grave. That's all.
Yeah, you seem like I don't know, you're always having a fun time there, right?
Yeah, you think I'm there drunk all the time.
Well, I'm there drunk all the time. That's the only way I'd know. Because, you know, we're both there drunk all the time. No judgment.
Not except from my dead mother.
I'm sorry. Maybe she's right.
She's right. No, that's funny.
The happy hour is too good. It's like $4 or something like that.
For yeah, it's really cheap, you know. And but I really, you can ask them. Oh, Jesus.
Look at me.
I'm getting defensive about my drinking. That's crazy, right?
I could see the look on your face when I said that. I was like, oh, that hit something.
Yeah, no. You know, Jews don't drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not supposed to.
And stuff, no?
No, no. We're not supposed to. That's why we don't drink.
All right. I won't tell anyone.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Lisa. And anyway, so okay, so you do stand up like every night, or do you go out a lot? And
you tried it every night, you know.
Mm-hmm. Where have you been lately?
Of course, Pine Box. I just had those two shows. Just around Brooklyn, usually. Mm-hmm. Lately, I haven't ventured out to Manhattan.
But you don't need to, right? There's so many shows.
No, you should. You know, you should venture, because like you see the same people in Bushwick, and you don't want to just like perform to the same people, and,
right?
Like, the same type of people too,
right?
Like I just did a show in Ridgewood,
right?
At some spot where it was like normal people, I guess you'd call them, like people who made reservations to come to a comedy show.
Oh, wow.
Like older people, like looked like, you know,
that's
in
cool.
Their 50s. Yeah, but it was like just very different vibe. They expected something different. But yeah, so
wow.
Like, that's good.
Older people in their 50s in Ridgewood?
Yeah.
What's the name of the gig? The place?
Near's Tavern. It's where they filmed Goodfellas, I think they said.
Cool.
That's their claim to fame. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Chris Castelli runs it. I'll name drop again.
What's her name?
Chris Castelli is his name. Chris Castelli. Yes, another comedian.
That's cool.
But yeah, so you realize how much you got to get out. Like I did that this week, and I was like, wow,
like,
I got to get out more because I'm just not used to
like that audience.
Yeah, like they don't want to hear like your Tinder stuff. Not that I have Tinder stuff, but like hipsters, you know, like crap about living in Bushwick. They don't give a shit. They want
right.
to hear all this stuff, and you know, so it makes you better.
Right. Do you write a lot? You spend a lot of time writing?
No.
So what do you do? Like, how do you do it?
You know, I think of stuff before I go on stage. I wouldn't say, like, I write out bits. A lot of people do. Maybe I should. I just kind of, like, think of a general idea. And as it keeps getting closer to the mic throughout the day, I think of it more and more and kind of, like, work it out in my head. And then you go up and try it at mics and you get it strong and you start doing it at shows, you know?
So you don't necessarily write, because I don't write a lot either.
No.
I mean, I've been trying to, like, do stuff, you know, with my recorder.
Oh, so you speak out loud?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that would work. Maybe I should try that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because I've tried to write things out, and it just, I don't know, it doesn't work for me. Once it's on paper and, like, I'm reading it off, it doesn't
feel right. Yeah, that's been an obstacle for me, because they say you're supposed to write it down, and it's like, then I get caught up in writing it down and remembering it, and
that's
a disaster. Then I get really self-conscious.
Yep.
Then I just, I'm like, then I have my mother yelling at me that I'm not remembering it right, and then I'm really an idiot. Thank God she's not around.
Oh my God.
It was worse. It used to be a lot worse.
Yeah, how long has she been gone for?
Oh, only like, how long, 10, 15 years?
Okay.
But she really implanted some real... You know, some good ones, which I'm coping with. You know, I cope. I'm fine. I mean, you know, whatever. We all have our crap.
Of course.
So speaking of, I was trying to remember. So you were brought up. What did your parents do again?
My dad's a cop, retired now. And my mom is like a homemaker, and she was a substitute teacher sometimes. You know, mostly took care of the kids. Very normal.
You had a very, very normal. Yeah. So did you have a lot of, how many brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers and a sister. I'm the oldest.
Two brothers and a sister. And so you have a nice, normal family.
They're still married.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still live together and everything. You know, they still seem to like each other, which is nice. Yeah.
And did you go to college?
No, I went to community college for 2 years.
Well, that counts.
Not really.
No, come on. And did you always want to be a comedian? Don't know. Take some
pride. Not to take anything away from anyone who's gone there.
No,
I feel some pride in it.
Come on.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you should. I mean, there's a lot of people who never went to college. Rachel Feinstein.
Those people are garbage.
They are.
No,
they are. Those are the people drinking at Pine Box.
Yep.
So you went to, okay, so.
Yeah,
so
community college.
You weren't like driven about school or.
No, I was very bad at hated school.
You hated school.
Man, I hate school.
Why particularly? Maybe you have some dyslexia.
I think I do.
Yeah,
I think
it's really undiagnosed.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I realized in later years that I had some too. Because I used to write letters backwards in when I was learning how to write. And then, because I make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. Like, and I've made the same type of mistakes throughout my life.
So
and
they're self-diagnosed.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm an expert,
okay.
A self-proclaimed expert. No, but I notice with a lot of creative people, like I have a friend who's in my age group who wasn't diagnosed, but he had a lot of the same problems that his son, who was diagnosed and given special attention, mm-hmm. You got to come sometime. This friend of mine, David Kramer, he's going to be on the show soon. His son is 15 or 16, and he is way on his way to becoming a comedian, a stand-up comedian. He's part of Kids in Comedy at Gotham.
Comedy?
Yes, you got to come.
He's a 15-year-old kid that does stand-up comedy?
You got to come to. I'm going to a show. Let me know if you want to come, because I'm going in, like, I think it's October 23rd on a Sunday at 1.
What kind of stuff does he talk about?
Well, it's just great. They have a whole afternoon of kids.
Really?
Yes. There's a big thing of kids and comedy. And they usually have, like, Jo Firestone hosted a couple. You know her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they usually have a professional that hosts them. And, if you want to see, it's remarkable. I mean, it's great. So
this is the competition. I got to destroy these kids.
Yeah, yeah, you should come. So anyway, I'm just saying that dyslexia is,
I feel like I do, but I was always like, they would have known. I can't like tell myself now at 30, like I got dyslexia, but
I know it feels like an excuse. It feels like an excuse, but you know, the whole thing is, and I feel like that too, but the whole thing is to recognize the pattern and not to think of it as an excuse. Just think of it as, you know, the way you are naturally that might be an obstacle to some other things. And it's like, think about it in terms of like your physical being and your brain chemistry, not laziness, weakness, carelessness, all the shit that society puts on you if you're not good at school.
You're right.
Because there's a hell of a lot of, and I notice this pattern in a lot of people I've met, a lot of creative people I've met, especially people who are more, visual writers, all sorts of people, that they didn't do well in school, but they're incredibly smart and creative. And a lot of times it's like a dyslexic thing where they don't test well for a lot of reasons.
I can see that, yeah.
So did you like not test well? Because you're obviously a very bright guy, right? We know this.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah. I couldn't finish tests. I couldn't finish anything. I was could not concentrate or focus.
So how did your parents respond to that?
They didn't like it.
You got shit for that?
Yeah.
And you were the oldest, so that's hard.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And did they like discipline you about not studying or working hard enough?
Of course, yeah. You know, they're more conservative. You know, they're not like hippy dippy type.
Right, parents. They're not cool. They're probably my age, but they're not cool.
No, they're not cool. No, no. You know,
right?
Like a cop and his wife. You know, like on Long Island. Those type of people. Nothing wrong with them, but you know, they're very.
You don't relate to them anymore.
No,
well,
no.
You don't, I guess.
Of course,
yeah.
Not, no.
Of course not. You probably didn't, but yeah. See, because you didn't fit in, you didn't fit in because of your mental machinations, and
sure,
that's what made you see you're a creative rebel now.
Yeah, creative.
So,
exactly.
Okay, so that hard? Did that give you a bit of a complex because you couldn't do well in school and you were disappointing them all the time?
Yeah, I think so. You know, well, I think it kind of gave me kind of a disdain for authority, and you know, like things that are school-like, you know, just made me be like, ah, fuck that then, you know, that's not fun.
Right, so made you angry at that.
I wouldn't say, I mean, maybe, I didn't say
anger,
that.
Anger, you know, anger's okay. It's hard to label anger because people don't like it. It's not nice. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's so, you know, I don't like sitting around and doing stuff like that. Maybe that's why I don't write stuff out because I don't like sitting there and like looking at a piece of paper.
So, what about your sisters? Were they good at school? You had two younger sisters, brother and a sister?
Two brothers and a sister.
Four.
After me was my sister.
Is that a Catholic family?
Yes.
A no birth control family?
Well, yeah, I was the reason they got married because.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Right?
Wow, a no birth control family.
I know my mom got her tubes tied.
Wow.
I reveal that. I know after the fourth one, because he was like kind of late. He's 10 years or 11 years younger than me. So it was, they were kind of like, why are we still doing this?
Whoa. Yeah. So that's not a family. But are they more, are the younger kids more in line with your family? Like, are you the black sheep?
Kind of. I mean, well, my sister, you know, she never really got in trouble, but I wouldn't say she's not like some like, you know, a scholar. I mean, she went to art school. She went to SEA. You know, she just recently got married and had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in Brooklyn and run like this art space.
Really? What's it called?
Art Cafe. And like he makes clothes and they sell it out of the boutique out front. It's called Ure J.
Wow. So they're kind of like you. I want to do a station ID. I'm talking to Augie Lutz. It's so awesome. And we're here at Radio Free Brooklyn on Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, the best radio station in the Western Hemisphere.
That's right.
Yeah. You know it.
She's, you know, kind of arty as well, you know. She went to art school,
but you guys relate. But she's even more traditional, right? Because she got married and had a kid, right?
Totally. Yeah,
to some degree.
A family, which is something I can't even imagine doing still.
So what happened after you, did you have feelings of it, like, when you, are there, like, feelings of failure or feelings of being traumatized by not doing well in school? Or did you do well at sports or anything?
No.
What did you do to compensate?
I skateboarded and played guitar and like went to punk shows and hardcore shows. That's what I did. You know, one of those, you know, skater kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. No, I don't regret not doing well in school. I feel like,
I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering. And I'm probably, you know, this is probably a countertransference, but I'm just wondering if that, gave you a complex.
Sure. I mean, I don't like authority, and I don't know if that is what made me not do well in school, or if I got that from not doing well in school and being like, oh, man, all these authority figures are just giving me shit. You know, I don't know which came first.
Right.
Maybe both. You know, maybe I had a little disdain for authority to begin with and being told what to do, something like that. And then,
but you must have gone to a lot of church.
I went to church. I made my confirmation.
Are you still interested in that? I just have to ask.
No,
I had to ask.
That's all right. I mean,
no one at Pine Box is going to church. I doubt it. Not that I would judge either way. I just can't imagine it. Can you?
I mean, they'd have to be a little contradictory to
hypocritical. We should bring in we should bring a priest in there, get it going.
So no, I'm not into church at all.
But really that must have been like, what was that like? Because your parents must have
made me do it.
Are your parents still religious?
No, they're not. They were never religious, but they were like kind of like it's like what you do. It's like they don't like. You know, and I was like, I'm not making my confirmation. Like, then how? No, you have to. Like, that's what you do. You can't get married in the church if you don't make your confirmation. Like, that was the
Here's what I don't understand. If your parents are religious enough to not use birth control.
I mean, I haven't asked them about any of that. So I don't know.
You haven't? Well, let's get them on the. Let's get your mom on the phone right now. I'll ask her.
No, that's all right.
You sure?
I'm positive. Yeah. I'm not. Like I said, they're not cool. My mom would not be. You know,
they wouldn't think that was funny.
No.
What if I like just called information and like just did it behind your back?
They probably wouldn't talk to you about it. But
really?
Go for it. If you do it behind my back, go for it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Not like you. You know, I wouldn't do that. Right.
No.
You know me well enough.
That'd be weird.
Weird. Right.
And
wrong. That would be wrong.
Yeah.
The station, you know, one thing about the station, they're cool with everything. But
yeah
that's because we all have our own boundaries. I have boundaries, Augie.
I believe you do.
You see that.
I bet you would. I haven't seen them yet.
you have seen them.
Yeah.
No?
Sure. No,
You guys at Pine Box have no idea what I'm really like, really, because you just see this side of me. But I have this really normal side.
Yeah?
Yeah. You guys see the really crazy side there. That's where I really let my hair down. Like if I, there'd be certain situations, if I ran into you, I'd probably be embarrassed.
Uh-oh. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like if I just say hi quickly and move on, don't like...
I won't be offended.
Yeah, just say hi and don't... Yeah, because I'm at my like craziest at Pine Box.
Yeah,
and I can be really uninhibited, pretty uninhibited.
I believe you.
Yeah, well, you've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen it. Do you realize, Augie, you probably have seen a side of me that most... You probably know me better than most people.
Really?
In a certain way,
wow.
Yeah.
Is the real you at Pine Box? That's the real Lisa?
Real me. Yeah, that's where I let my hair down.
Okay, good to know. Your secret's safe with me. I won't tell anyone about
it. Oh, everyone knows. Everyone at Pine Box knows. Because I'm tired of pretending all day.
Uh-huh. Of course. That's why you go to drink, you know?
Yeah.
Hair down.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine me in corporate America? I mean, that's where I spent a lot of my life.
No.
Can you picture that at all?
No,
right?
Do you wear like a pantsuit and stuff?
Yeah, I had like all these really normal clothes and, you know, presented at meetings and, you know, corporate, you know, business people. Yeah, I was a business person.
You were a yuppie?
I fucking played that game.
Yeah.
I mean, not very well, but. I don't understand. Okay, so I'm equating that your parents didn't use birth control with them being hardcore Catholics, right?
I would not say they're hard. No, they're not hard because I don't think they even go to church now.
Did they go to church when you were growing up?
Yeah, there were times where I guess we went every week. But then, you know, there are also times where they just stopped giving a shit, you know. I would say later in life, we would go on Christmas and Easter.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, stuff like that.
So that must have been really hard when you were a kid. Wasn't it, like, horrible going to church?
I mean, I wouldn't say horrible, but yeah, it sucked. You know, I didn't like it. Like, and you'd have to go to confirmation school. You'd have to go like once a week on Tuesday nights, which sucked because
that
was in the middle of the night. I'd have to go there at like 5:30 or whatever. And I hated it. And it was run by this like one family, and they just all seemed angry and
just yeah, because their whole lives was church.
Yeah. You know, they just didn't seem very Christ-like. It just seemed like bullshit, and it was like, why do I have to waste my Tuesdays?
Yeah, no, and, Phil, my husband had to do all that, too. He's from a Catholic family.
Did you guys get married in the church?
No.
See, I have no desire to get married in the church. That was their argument.
No, we got married in a theater here at Art Center.
Oh, okay.
So, what's your feeling about what when you look back on it, what's your feeling about religion?
I'm not religious at all.
But how do you feel about all those? What?
I wouldn't raise my kids in a church.
What's your thoughts about it? Do you feel like it's hypocritical or do you feel like
organized religion is of course hypocritical? It's you know, I don't want to shit on anyone, but it seems like
no, it's your opinion. It's not the truth.
Of course, I think organized religion seems like bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what I got from going to church and just being like, this is bull, you know.
And when did you figure that out?
Like middle school sometime. Because I think maybe even in like elementary school, I thought you were supposed to, you know, I kind of was into it maybe a little.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember wanting to go to church or thinking I should go to church. And then I guess sometime in middle school, it just was kind of like, yeah, I think this is kind of silly. I think that really angry religious family that taught the whole school like really helped me get over it all.
They work kind of the opposite way.
Yeah. It's like, no, you guys don't seem like you know what you're talking about.
But you feel like you found your people now, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool, which you wouldn't have if you had stayed there.
What, on
where you grew up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
How did you wind up moving to New York?
Or I always Brooklyn. Wanted to. Well, so I lived in Levittown on Long Island when I was a teenager. And when my parents were, when I was 18, when I graduated high school, my parents and the whole family moved to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't move with them because I didn't want to go. So I moved in with my grandparents in Valley Stream, Long Island. Lived there for a couple of years while I was like...
Is that when you went to school?
Yeah. I went to community college. Mm-hmm. I was driving into the city to take improv classes. And And yeah, and then when I was 20, I just like, it's like, I just want to go to the city. I'm like, why am I going to fucking community college? This is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Astoria with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there for a while doing improv and stuff. Then moved to Bushwick. And then I've been in Bushwick for a long time now.
Yeah. So that must have been like really liberating when you first moved to Astoria, right?
Yeah.
Oh, those are great, great days.
Yeah. Like my, being 20 years old and like I was the only one of my friends with my own place. So like everyone
must have been incredible,
yeah,
right?
Hang out and
yeah.
Like smoke pot and like we could in the living room, like, you know, our parents.
In your own
there.
Living
yeah,
room, right?
Yeah.
Right. Are you still friends with that guy?
The old roommate?
Yeah.
No. He moved to California a few years ago, and I haven't talked.
You just lost touch.
Yeah.
Is he, what did he do? Was he in comedy?
No, he worked in television. He was like a syndication coordinator for CBS or something like that. Like he, like, I think he would like make sure the commercials are in place.
So he got a career.
Kind of, but then he was really crazy. He got workers' comp for mental insanity. And then he just
awesome.
Yeah, and then he just stay home all day, drink several 2 liters of Diet Coke every day, and a few Domino's pizzas, and smoke like a pack of Marlboro Reds like every day. He'd just do this, and he'd buy things like on his credit card while he's on workers' comp. So every day I'd come home, and there'd be like a few like boxes in the kitchen of like, you know, a big African drum he bought or a bike, and he would never leave the apartment ever.
Oh, that sounds like the suckiest roommate.
But
that's sad. What was wrong with him?
He probably had some more serious mental. He's, you know, he's maybe bipolar or something. He was like,
yeah,
crazy. Really,
he really had a problem.
Yeah, it's too bad.
So, you know, I was thinking last, when was it? A couple nights ago. Did you leave with a really cute blonde woman? Do you have a girlfriend?
I do have a girlfriend that is a cute blonde woman, yeah.
You have a girlfriend. How long have you been with her?
Almost a year.
Really? How come we know? Does she come to Pine Box a lot?
Sometimes, you know. She's definitely been there her fair share. But, you know, I don't want to.
She's not a comedian.
No, she's not a comedian. She works in audio for television.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she like did freelance for like Late Night Colbert and stuff like that in the Today Show. And now she's working for Vice.
Oh, that's the best, right? Everybody.
I guess. I don't know. She's been there a couple of days.
Is she a freelancer?
Not for Vice. Now she's.
Now
like,
she got a full-time job doing sound?
Yeah, like A2ing, I believe.
What's
it's called.
That?
That's where, like, doing audio, like miking people up and stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds like a fun. Does she like it?
Yeah. She loves it.
Is that really long hours?
No. It's like, you know, 8-hour days.
So do you like not want your girlfriend around like the comedy scene that you're part of? Do you try and keep that a little separate?
Well,
does it matter to you, or what's your feeling about it?
I gotta think about her. I'm sure she doesn't want to sit in the back of comedy shows all the time.
Yeah, right.
Like I could, I don't mind her coming to the shows, but like it's gotta suck for her. So like I understand. I don't ask her to come to every show, and you know. I'll bring her out sometimes, but not all the time.
So it's more to protect her than to protect.
Not even protect. It's got to be boring.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't want
like
to come
more
like,
to be thinking about her.
Yeah. And make small talk with comedians all night and like hear us talk about stupid shows and shit like that. She doesn't want to, you know.
What is she? Does she like comedy or
yeah,
what does
yeah.
she think
She's
about?
She's a fan of it and everything. She, before I met her, loved stand up and everything like that. You know.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. How did you meet her? Did you meet her at a show?
Bar.
Yeah,
After an open mic at a bar, her and her friends were hanging out. And
was it Pine Box?
No, Macri Park.
Oh,
yeah.
Where's that?
It's right by the Lorimer stop. Right across from Kellogg
Diner. What is that other place that I'm thinking of? Park. It's not Macri. Well, whatever. Yeah, who did I? Oh, God, my friend Stephanie Stakari. Do you know her? She's really cute. She found love at Pine Box.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? I bet a lot of people have. I feel, honestly, that's a...
They found love at Pine Box.
People are mingling there.
You can find love at... And I was like, whoa, you found love at Pine Box?
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Good for her.
Good for her. So, anyways, so we have like 15 minutes left. Let's see if we can... Let's see. What... There must be like something that's on your mind. Let's just give it a whirl. What do you think?
Sure. What's on?
Yeah. What's on your? What's been bugging you lately?
You know, honestly, I don't know. Nothing. I hate to be boring, but I don't know. I've been liking life. Life's good. What's bugging me? Oh man, I don't know.
So things are good with your girlfriend?
Yeah, things are very good with her.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys living together?
No.
Is she pushing for that? We'll get something out of this.
She's not pushing for it. I'm sure she wants it to happen. Thing is, though, her landlord already complained about me being there too much. So there's no way they're going to let me live there.
Oh,
like,
and
she lives by herself. I have roommates.
Oh.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that bullshit? She's like, we know he lives there. And I'm like, no, I don't.
He lives in the building?
No. Well, he does. Yeah. His whole family lives like right next door.
Do you think maybe he has a crush on her and he's a little jealous?
Well, it's his daughter who's giving a shit. So I feel like maybe she's jealous that she doesn't have
she
a
likes
boy
you.
Over. Not even that.
How old is she?
Me.
His daughter.
Probably my age.
So maybe she's jealous of your girlfriend. Like,
yeah, having her own place.
And a nice boyfriend who's nice to her.
Right? She hears this banging. She gets all jealous.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. Could be.
That's what I'm going to say.
But have you and your girlfriend talked about it?
Yeah.
And what do you guys think?
I mean, I've never lived with a woman before.
God forbid.
I think it complicates things a million times more.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you're not really quite ready, Augie.
No, I mean, I'm not. So that's why I'm
You're a young man.
I'm 30 now. I'm not that young.
No, but, you know, I mean, it's still like, well, you got a few years left. And then, you know, the thing is, if you don't do it, eventually women are just going to be like.
Yeah, she's going to peace out if I don't, you know.
No, but it's also like women are like, that guy's like 35 and he's never like lived with anyone.
Really?
I don't know.
All right.
All right. Did that make you feel bad? I'm sorry. I mean, no.
What, about my age or something? I don't care.
Or no, about not
living with someone.
Not being emotionally mature yet to settle down is what I'm talking about.
Augie, you're absolutely right. I'm not emotionally mature enough yet.
You're not. You're so not.
Because I mean, no. Because if we, it's always in the back of my head. Like if we break up, it's gonna be a fucking nightmare if I live with her.
That's good. Oh, you're already planning the shit that's gonna happen. Oh,
well,
you're thinking way
like,
too
no,
far ahead.
I'm gonna get along great. Like I'm not worried about.
Yeah, I get that feeling. Yeah, yeah.
So that would be fine. I could live with it. Like, we hang out all the time. I could live with her. But if we ever, you know, God forbid, broke up, fuck. That would suck. I've seen guys go through that. You know, you got to
like
find a new
happens?
Place to live.
What do you see? What
Someone's
do you see?
Got to find a new place to live, or both people have to find a new place to live. You got to, like, divvy things up. And depending if your name's in the lease, or like, just all a nightmare.
Like a divorce.
Yeah.
Worse.
Whereas now, it's just like, okay, we don't see each other anymore. We avoid each other.
Oh.
Instead of like having a.
Have you had a lot of long term relationships?
No, I've had a few. Like before her, like there were, I think, two others that lasted more than a year.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you think this is the most serious one you've had?
Yeah.
So do you think. I think there's some growth in here for you.
There is. Yeah. There absolutely is.
I think maybe you could get there.
Yeah, I could. She's great. She's a great chick.
She's cute. She's good looking.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you. That's not a compliment to you.
Oh, really? I think it's a compliment.
No, she's a good looking girl. I want to meet her. Do you think you'll introduce me sometime?
Of course I will.
Yeah, I would love to meet her.
Yeah, she's very sweet. You'll like her.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sorry. You want to dig demons out, right? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, we're getting some. They're just not apparent to you. That's all.
Oh, everyone else.
No, well, me. Because what I'm thinking about is like, so here's what I'm thinking. Okay. This is don't whatever. I have no training.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that I think you're really into this girl, and that you might be a little worried that you're not quite as confident with her as you could be. Do you think that's true?
What do you mean confident?
Like, I'm wondering if you're concerned that she might ditch you. Or like you like that you're not worrying about ditching, because this is what people worry about in relationships. I don't know.
No, to be honest,
but
no,
this is what people worry about in relationships: who's going to ditch who, especially when you know you've been together a year, which isn't all that
No.
Long, really.
No.
Enough to like be super, you guys aren't super, no one's super confident with the other person after a year. It's just not realistic. I mean, so what do you think she's totally into you or?
I do.
Okay, cool.
I think she is. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do
not
you think she's
cocky,
gonna?
But I think, yeah.
No,
I don't have a feeling like she's gonna dump me or anything like that.
No, but do you feel like she's gonna want more from you than you're gonna be able to give her? Is that a thought?
Possibly.
Do you think about that? That's what I mean, because you know us women, if we get fed up,
yeah, she can
we
walk.
Just take off. Unless except with my husband, of course, where I just did. Yeah. But. Because no, by that point, I was so fed up with the guys, blah, blah, blah. So how old is your girlfriend?
26.
That's pretty young.
Yeah.
Is she from a really healthy family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all get along. Yeah, she has two brothers that she really likes. And
nice, well-adjusted family.
Yes, totally.
Kind of like, and because she's a chick, she's pretty emotionally mature on top of that.
Sure. Yeah, she's very mature. She's a lot more mature.
She has
than
a good job. I didn't have a
right?
job like that at 26.
Oh, she's killing it.
She's got her shit together.
Exactly, and she's younger than me.
Yeah, and she's really got her shit together.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm intimidated by that. Are you?
No. I don't. I really.
No. I'm not asking you to be. No.
I mean,
counter transference.
I could see how one would be. That way, I'm just not like, I don't know, I like my life, I like who I am.
The point I think I'm trying to make is that this is the point, for whatever it's worth, it's not the truth. It's just a point that I'm putting out there. It's not real.
Okay.
I'm wondering if she is more emotionally mature than you, because she's really emotionally mature, it sounds like.
She is, yeah.
Without ever meeting her, this is all bullshit, really.
Absolutely.
And you're not, which you know, because you're, you're a complicated guy more than you realize, I think, because you are very ambitious. I know that about you, and I don't even know you that well. I know you better now, but you are, right? Am I right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I think you really want
to
do well
at
a
certain point. Like, I as soon as I could, just started doing comedy when I was a teenager, which I guess you call ambitious. But then also, like, I'm not the type to like go out and try and network with people or like.
But that's not what I consider ambitious. What I'm saying is, you're somebody who really. I mean, I don't know what you put into it. I have no idea. I mean, I'm hearing that you put a lot into it, but I don't. You know, I wouldn't profess, but I would say. That I see you, you know, hosting a lot of shows, showing up to all the shit. Like, if there's something, the only scene that I'm super familiar with is Pine Box. I see other, I've seen you at a couple other things too, I think.
Yeah.
I like comedy, I see it.
The Bushwick Festival or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. But I know, like, if it's comedy at Bushwick, you're involved in it. I know in Pine Box, I know you're very involved in it. So what I'm saying is, it's something that's important to you and something that you want to have. Some level of achievement and that you're satisfied with.
Yeah, I do care about it. I do try.
Yeah, and you are really. So what I'm saying is that I think that, and also because it's a very difficult creative pursuit, you needs a lot of, there's a lot of development time. There's a long period of creative development and personal development in becoming a comedian, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's not like, you know, being a lawyer and then you follow a path and then so there's like
no. Yeah.
So in other words, I think that a lot of people don't gel right away because there's a lot to explore and so you're just not formed.
Yeah. Okay,
which is
sure.
appropriate,
like
right?
Yeah. No, I don't feel formed.
Yeah, but why that's appropriate.
Uh-huh.
Because you've got a complex road to develop.
Yeah, I would say that's the pursuit, to get, what's the word we said? Formed? Get formed.
Fully whatever. Formed.
Fully formed, yeah. That's the
pursuit. What I'm saying is you're on a complex road, and I don't think that you're going to be ready. I'm guessing that maybe you might not be ready to settle down until you have formed your career more.
Perhaps you're right, yes. And you know what? There's definitely a self-consciousness there. with her family, at least, like, how, because her brother's like, you know, finance bros. They're like,
oh man,
they,
no,
like, they got their shit together. They're like,
oh man, no,
no, they're really cool guys.
Yeah,
but,
and
yeah,
so
like,
are you.
So it's, but, like,
right,
of course, I. It's before a, I get serious, it's a with different, their sister, I would like to have something to show for it. You know,
it's a,
like,
frame of reference.
Yeah, because I'm sure they see me like, oh, that fucking hipster guy with the beard that my sister's dating, the comedian in Bushwick. Yeah, so I would like to have something more to show for it before getting serious with her.
Right, right. Yeah, so that's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's stupid and self-conscious. I shouldn't think like that.
No, see, there you are judging yourself. No, I'm not. There's no judgments here. Okay. If you're judging, you got to own that. I think it's better to own that than it is to, like, say, than to judge it. Because if you own it, at least you can make decisions based on that's how you feel.
You're right. You're right. I should own it.
So, and it's, I mean, there's an admirable part to it in that, you are ambitious, like I said, more than I think you even see in yourself. I think I see more ambition in you than you recognize in your own self. Because it's scary to really put yourself on the line and say you want to be great at something.
Yeah.
We it's scary for all of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm afraid of it, too,
yeah.
My
Absolutely.
Age. So, and do you think, but your girlfriend's from a fairly, I think 26 is too young to settle down anyway.
Good, good. No, but I mean, as the years go on, before we know it, she'll be 28, 29, maybe thinking about those
things.
She'll
be 35, and then the kids will, where are the kids? And
oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So you guys are both, does she think like that?
No, like, in the moment now, I know she's not trying to have kids. But
no, I know that.
She is like a, you know, mature-minded person, and, like, you know, I could see her thinking I should have kids by now at some point, or thinking like I have to start thinking about having kids now. Not now, but I can see you're thinking that soon.
Have you guys talked about that directly?
Yeah.
You don't think you're just projecting onto her?
No, no. We talk about it a little. Like, not we don't talk about, like, let's have kids. But we,
no,
you know,
but you have her. You have a sense of that she's going to want them, and
yeah,
she's a little bit on a schedule, and she has her life.
Well, she'll say, she's like, I don't even know if I want kids. I like my career and blah blah blah, but I don't believe her. I don't believe that.
Well, that's a little bit of you and her. That's a little bit of both of you, I think.
Yeah.
I think that you're, this is what I'm saying. I'm wondering if you're a little anxious because she's from a conventional type family, and you are too, really, that you're going to feel that pressure. I'm wondering if you're worrying about the pressure, if the pressure's real, and I don't know.
You're right. It might not be there. Because it's not. I'm actually anticipating the pressure, which is stupid. No.
Well, it's not stupid. It's normal. Okay. But
it's not actually there yet.
Well, I mean, it's more about you. It's more about you feel like you have to live up to something that you're not that. But I think you, this is what I think. I think you feel like, I'm imagining that you feel like you have to live up to something. But that's you having a conversation with you. Maybe if you talked about it, you might get some reality. It's probably hard, scary to talk about it because you're already a little anxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, see where it comes from and try and cope with it, manage it on your own. I mean, you could talk to her about it, but it's, you know, I don't know if it's coming from her or not.
Okay. Yeah,
who knows? So we've got 1 minute left.
Wow.
And that's good. We made some progress here today, Augie.
Yeah.
When I see your girlfriend, I'll say, like, God, you know, any girl that gets... I'll tell her about the movie that is really great to wait until your 50s to get married. I'll tell tell her all about it. So let's just say once again when your show's going to be.
So I have a game show called What Is Happening that I host with Brad Hagen and Anelia Kovaleski.
Love her.
Director.
Great artist.
She's great. She is the artistic director. That's the first Tuesday of every month at Pine Box at 8. And the last Saturday of every month at Pine Box at 8, I host a show with Courtney McGinnis. That's just more stand-up comics. It's great. They're all free shows. Just a great time.
And come by the radio station on Saturday and see the new record store, okay? That's 1345 DeKalb Avenue. And that